So let's talk about this whole thing going on with Naomi Osaka. Do you know this whole story? You've been following this?
No, I don't know who this is.
Okay, this is a fascinating story. You know, every once in a while, you know how I am. Like, I could care less about sports. But once in a while, a sports ball story will hit and I will just jump in feet first, just all of it. So Naomi Osaka is the number two women's player in the world. Okay, she rose to fame after several tournament wins, but it was in 2018. This was a big deal. She defeated Serena Williams, who at that time had won 23 Grand Slams.
So it's tennis.
And this tennis. Sorry, did I not say
no.
Tennis?
Okay.
Sports ball. What's the difference?
I gotta know. It could be WNBA. It could be golf. I don't know. So tennis.
Listen, every sport's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Here's a ball. Put it there. You know what I mean? Basketball. Here's a ball. Put it there. Football. Here's a ball. Put it there. Baseball. Here's a ball. Put it over there.
Okay. So, but it helps me with the story if you tell me which ball it is.
It's a tennis ball.
Tennis ball. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Tennis ball chick.
It's the ball of Golden Retriever fame. Golden Retrievers love this story.
Okay. So tennis ball. Ball.
Okay. So Naomi Osaka, number two. No, I said number two women's tennis player in the world. I said that. That's how I started the story.
No, you didn't. You said
I did. She is the number two women's tennis player in the world. I said that.
I can go back and I can rewind. You forget.
Okay. Anyway. So she put herself on the map in 2018 when she beat Serena Williams in the final of the US Open. It was a really big deal. She's the first Japanese player to win. She's Japanese. She's really cute. She grew up in California and she kind of has like a little bit of that Valley girl from back in the day. Mm-hmm. Like when she talks, she's like, she's like very, very cute in California. Adorable. Since 2018, she's won Grand Slam single titles 4 years in a row. So here she is, cut to, she's competing in the French Open right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she secretly, behind the scenes, has been battling anxiety and depression. She's 23 years old. Her sister was also a professional tennis player. Her sister, Mary, was a professional tennis player as well. I think she doesn't play anymore. I don't know what her story is. So she's at the French Open and she decides that she's not going to do the press conference afterwards. Now she wins and she will not do the press conference.
Mm.
So the powers that be say to her, hon, you have to do the press conference.
Mm.
It's super important. It's mm-hmm. kind of part of your job. Like not just playing tennis and winning money for you and your sponsors and whatever. You also have to do the press conferences. So she's like, you know, I have to, my own mental health has to be more important to me right now. And I guess she's having a really rough time. She's 23. There's a lot of pressure on her and she does not handle pressure well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and look at some old interviews that she's done, she has her head down. She has her hands across her body. I mean, she looks like she's about to crawl back into herself. And when they ask her a question, she sort of like talks like she's like could barely speak. You know, listen, I got to say, public speaking is a tough thing to do. There's an old joke that Seinfeld used to do back in the day where he said that the number one fear people have is public speaking. And the number two fear is death. That means you'd rather be the person in the casket than the person doing the eulogy.
Mm-hmm.
So she's one of these people where she doesn't like public attention. She's very shy, but she has to do this. And you can see how uncomfortable she is. Well, she decides she's not going to do the press conference. And the tennis powers that be said, well, we're fining you $15,000 because that's a violation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also going to get dinged in points, which mm-hmm. is going to be a problem moving forward, you know, as you play. So before I tell you what ended up happening, this is where we've left it. And this is where people were divided. And they spent all weekend yelling about this. Some people were like, honey, this is your job. Like, nobody told you to go play tennis and make millions of dollars. Sorry, part of that is doing the press conference, especially after you win.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are like, you know what? You're a professional athlete. You're not a professional speaker. I mean, they give lessons and classes on public speaking. They give lessons and classes on media speaking. I've got friends that left television and they actually do media training for people like her. They train people how mm-hmm. to be in front of the media, how to take questions and all that. But she's a 23-year-old girl, you know, And she decided not to do it. So before I tell you what happened, what side do you fall on? Do you think that she has to do it because it's part of her job, or her mental health is more important?
You have to do it. I mean, you go to that client that sponsors that match, and they want the extra time they get from the camera time for the post interview. So that's added into, let's say Nike sponsors it. They want their logo behind the press conference. That's why they do press conferences. So you can have more commercials, more logo time. It's like when you and I get a job in radio, we say, okay, we're going to do the show, but we're not going to do any remotes. We're not going to be on stage at all. You can't do that.
Right.
Well, then I don't want to do that. Well, then
you're in the wrong industry.
Yeah, go somewhere else. I mean, that's part of the job. Part of the job when you're a football player, basketball player, a ball player that you say is a ball, any ball sport, you know that press, the post and pregame interviews are going to happen. You just know. You got those commercial breaks built in after the game. So there's, let's say, four commercial breaks that they're going to space up between press conferences. And if they don't have a press conference, they have no commercials. That's a huge problem. That's a network problem.
And the other issue that people had was the fact that if she doesn't do the press, that's an unfair advantage that she has over the other players. Now, the thing with especially the women's tennis, they are really into parity. Like, they're really into equity and everybody having the exact same everything. Like, we all are valued the same way, and no one has an advantage over anyone else. And if she decides not to do a press conference because she wants to be able to focus on the game and not be stressed out and not deal with the anxiety of it, that gives her an unfair advantage, because don't you think every single one of them doesn't want to do a press conference? Like, you know, it doesn't feel like something anybody would want to do who's an athlete. You know, you and I love getting in front of the press, but that's because that's what we do for a living. Somebody who hides behind a tennis racket probably does not want to do press.
It's 10 minutes of your life. It's 10 minutes of your life after each game. Just suck it up.
Billie Jean King and Andre Agassi. No, the other one. Who's the one that had the talk show? Tennis player?
Monroe.
McEnroe. Yeah. McEnroe and Billie Jean King came out and said, listen, if you don't do press, no one's going to know who you are.
Yeah.
And part of tennis is becoming famous, especially this generation. So it's really important people to know who you are. That's what they said. Naomi Osaka's fans, people like me, said, listen, your mental illness is the more important thing you need to protect. If you're having mental issues, if you're having anxiety, that is the more important thing that you need to protect, because when you play tennis at that level, nobody else protects it but you do. They don't care about it. They just want you out there and playing and practicing and all that. They do not care about your mental health. And interestingly enough, Monica Seles and Andre Agassi, who played back in the 90s, they have since talked about their depression and terrible mental illness that they had while they were playing, but they were playing during a time that nobody talked about that stuff. They could have never come forward and said, you know, I had severe depression, or I was medicating, or I had a panic attack that day, or, you know, they couldn't have said that back then. So I think it's really empowering and really important that she come forward and say, I'm having mental health issues. I mean, it's really making herself vulnerable like that. So what she decided to do, because, you know, $15,000 is nothing for her. Like, fine, find me $15,000. That's pocket change. She doesn't want to continue this battle. So she decided to drop out.
Good.
She dropped out.
Good. Yeah. I mean, you got to do you can't do half the job and continue, move on and get paid. You have to do the whole job. And the whole job is dealing with the press and doing the game.
Right.
That's the whole job. Sorry. You know, there are things about my job that I don't want to do. But you know what? I do it. And if I don't want to do it, you know what? I leave.
Right.
You know, so if you can't do it all, you can't do half of it. You can't go do a radio show and not do a live broadcast or not do a remote. You have to do it. I don't like being, I don't like dealing with people. I'm too bad. Sorry, you're fired.
But you're saying it like it's something you just don't want to do. Like, I don't want to do a remote. I don't feel like getting off my couch and going all the way to the, wherever, the car dealership where I have to go hand out t-shirts right. or whatever. This isn't something she just doesn't feel like doing. She has serious anxiety disorder.
And millions and millions and millions of people do every single day, and they go to work and they do their job every single day. You learn to deal with it.
Right.
Sorry. I mean, a 23-year-old kid who's good at tennis, I can't feel bad for him. Sorry. You know, it's the same thing when somebody in football gets in trouble. It's a 23-year-old kid. I can't. It's a game. Most people right. bust their ass 60 hours a day, and they have bad mental health, and they still got to go to do a job.
Right. They can't go to their boss and be like, hi.
I need a mental health
kids,
day.
Or right. I need a mental health day. A mental health day is fine, but you can't say to your boss, I don't want to do this big part of the job anymore because it gives me too much anxiety. The boss would be like, great, go find a job somewhere else that doesn't give you anxiety. And then your family's like, hi, we can't eat.
Exactly. So if I said to my boss, I really like my job, but I don't like meetings. I don't want to do meetings anymore. Okay.
They give me anxiety.
Yeah. And they do. I freaking right. hate meetings more. And it probably gives me really bad health going to meetings. I freaking hate them, but I do them. Why? Because if I don't, somebody they bring in will.
Right.
So she's good. You said it yourself. She's number two. She can be replaced with somebody who will do interviews.
Well, here's what she said. She said, hey, everyone, this isn't a situation I ever imagined or intended when I posted a few days ago. I think now the best thing for the tournament, the other players, and my well-being is that I withdraw so that everyone can get back to focusing on the tennis going on in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted to be a distraction. I accepted that my timing was not ideal and my message could not have been clearer. More importantly, I would never trivialize mental health or use the term lightly. The truth is that I have suffered long bouts of depression since the U.S. Open in 2018, and I have had a really hard time coping with that. Anyone that knows me knows I'm introverted, and anyone that has seen me at the tournaments will notice that I'm often wearing headphones, as that helps dull my social anxiety. Though the tennis press has always been kind to me, and I want to apologize especially to all the cool journalists who I may have hurt, I am not a natural public speaker. And I get huge waves of anxiety before I speak to the world's media.
You don't have to speak. You just have to answer questions. You're not making a speech. You're just answering certain questions they're giving you. I'm not feeling bad. I'm not.
Her sister made it worse because her sister got on Reddit to try to defend her. Her sister also plays tennis.
You don't need to do that.
Well, she made it worse because here's what she did. So the next part of the tennis tournament is on clay. And I guess she's not known for playing well on clay. So the sister pointed that out and said that they even have family members that came over to her and said, I don't think you're going to do well at the French Open. You don't play well on clay. Like, thanks for the support, family member. So they already sort of put the kibosh on her mental state. And as somebody, so I played tennis when I was at Cornell, I played tennis and I was not great, but I played in a circuit. You know, I played when I was in high school. I played when I was in college. I was a decent player. Like, I was better than most girls my age. I was certainly never going to the Olympics and never at the level of these girls. So even at my stupid little dumb college level, they worked harder on the mental aspect of the game than they did on the actual game. And if you watch tennis, you will see when the players turn around and they start playing with their strings on the racket, they're mentally resetting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mental reset to get back to zero so they can start playing. Especially if they're doing terribly, that way they can start playing fresh all over again. And we would sit there and watch hours of video of the mental aspect of the game and watch old games and where somebody messed up and why they weren't focused and how to focus. And again, this was college, so I can't even imagine the pressure and the mental aspect of the game that these kids have to deal with. So there's a side of it that she's very good at the game. She is being exploited in a way, because she's being exploited by all the people that are making money off of her, mm-hmm. that have not allowed her to deal with her mental health, that it came to this, that she had to have a breaking point, you know? So I don't know, I definitely feel for her. I think she made the right decision by pulling out of it because she doesn't want the focus on her. And it has been, which makes her anxiety worse. So instead of just not doing press, she's not going to play tennis for a little while.
And I think that's a good thing. I will never feel bad for anybody. I don't care who it is, that they play a game for a living. And that's how they make their money. And they make a lot of it. I still worry about that guy who's 45 years old, who goes out and works on the road for 12 hours a day in 700 degree weather. That's the type of people, you know, the firefighter that runs into that building.
Right.
Yeah, I'm never going to feel bad for somebody playing a game. I don't care what game it is.
And, that's a very good point.
You know, football, very, very physical. They only play 17 games. You know, right. They got 8 months off.
Right.
You know, I'm never going to feel bad for baseball player, basketball player, especially tennis and golf. Give me a break. You know, there's people that work for a living and deal with the same things they deal with, but they do it every single day.
I will say that the one thing that I think that it's good that she's speaking out about this is she's speaking to other 23-year-olds and to young, vulnerable Japanese girls who might not be from families that value getting therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain cultures that aren't known to go to therapy. I've got a very good friend, Asenya, and she became a therapist who deals only with women who are Latina, mm-hmm. because she knows that in the culture she grew up in, that they don't really value getting help for your mental health. That's not a thing. People have depression, they have anxiety, they have all kinds of problems, but they don't go to therapists because they don't trust therapists. They don't know enough about it. It's just not part of their culture. So she's there to encourage women, Hispanic women who need therapy, to go to therapy, to be better, to get better, to get healthy, and that it's okay to say you have a mental illness. Mm-hmm. So I think she's doing the same thing for not just young girls, but specifically young Japanese girls that might be from families that have expectations that you deal with mental health issues at home and not publicly. That's why I'm happy.
That's the positive thing, but still, I'm not feeling bad for you. Anybody who plays a game.